Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes these words: O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How on earth can he write the words, O death, where is thy sting? Has he never lost a loved one? Does he not understand that there is a pain, a sting, a mourning? Of course, he understands that. But more importantly, St. Paul believes in the resurrection that is to come. Think about his words to the church in Thessalonica. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's not that he doesn't understand loss, and it's not that he says that we can't mourn at all. His point is that we as Christians mourn differently than others. We can cry. We can mourn. And yet we do not mourn as those who have no hope. As a pastor, there are times that you deal with people in all different parts of their life. You get the beautiful joy after a new life has come into the world. You get the pains of heartbreak and rending. You get to tell people that their sins are forgiven, and others, you tell them that they must repent. You also walk side by side with those who are going through that valley of the shadow of death, and with the people who are left after them. But I cannot imagine doing that for people who do not believe in Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine how you can get any comfort in the thought that when you die, your body will be placed into the ground and it'll simply rot away and that's it. There is no hope in that. But also, it's a lie. It's simply not true. God's word is the truth. We see that he is the author of life and he can also control death. Death is caused by Adam's fall. God told Adam that this would be the case. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. The devil told Eve that that wasn't true. God just doesn't want you to be like him. And so she eats it, gives it to her husband who is with her, and he eats it as well. Death is caused by sin. The wages of sin is death. Death separates us from God in our sins. But with Jesus Christ, death has been made a portal. What is death? We see it in our Old Testament lesson. The same widow and her son that we saw last week in our Old Testament lesson, we get to hear the continuation of that story. The same widow whose jar was not spent now here has her son, her only son, dead in her arms. She'd already lost her husband, and now her only son is dead as well. What have you to do with me, man of God? We can feel that anger toward God sometimes, can't we? And when we do, we need to recognize that this is not his purpose. This is the cause of sin. Jesus hates death too. That is why he came into our flesh to undo it, to undo the permanent effects of it. He hated death and sin so much, he came to bear our sin, and he came to die for us. And so we see that this boy, his soul has left his body. His body appears to be as one sleeping. We hear this language throughout the scriptures. Death looks like a sleep for the body. But we know that just as the body sleeps, it will wake up again on a new morning. It will wake up again when the trumpets sound, when the voice of that archangel cries out, the graves will open. Elijah calls out to God, and the boy's soul returns to his body, and he places that boy once again into his mother's arms. We see in our gospel lesson that Jesus too heals a woman's son who had died. And she was a widow. Her husband had already been taken by the Lord, and now her only son was dead. And she was weeping. She was weeping as though she had no hope. She was weeping as the people told her to cry aloud. There were actually public mourners in those days, people who were paid to cry for you. It's okay to cry. Death rends someone that we love from us. And when that someone that we love is our spouse, it is a tearing apart of a one flesh union. It's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. But not as those who have no hope. Rather, we mourn with the hope that the resurrection will come. Now, it may not come as soon as it did for that widow's son in our Old Testament lesson. It may not come as soon as it did for the widow in our gospel lesson. But I promise you, it will come. Jesus sees this funeral procession, the lifeless body of this widow's son being carried out to his grave. And he sees this death as he sees this thing that he knew was not supposed to happen because he knew it was not a part of his plan from the beginning. His heart rends as well. And he has compassion on her. And so he actually grabs a hold of the casket in its procession and he calls it to a halt. He tells her, "Woman, do not weep." He speaks to the man himself. He speaks to the lifeless body that appears to be asleep. And he says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And just as his voice did from the very beginning, what he says occurs. At that moment, the soul of that boy is returned to his body and he rises from the dead. And Jesus takes him. And he presents him, he gives him back to his mother. You can see why the Old Testament lesson lines up with today, can't you? Now, Jesus is doing these things to show that he has power over all diseases, including the disease that is death. Jesus has control over all these things, and he has come to undo these things. He has come to undo sin and death. And the devil. Presumably, there is a third widow whose son, and possibly her only son, will be dead and will rise again. Jesus does these things while thinking of his own mother, who had heard that she would be the very means by which the salvation of the world came into this world. That she would be the ark of God. that she would carry God in her own flesh for 9 months and then give birth to the Savior. She was told that this sword would pierce her own heart. She pondered all these things and treasured them. Ultimately, she also knew that her son would have to die. That's what the Messiah had come to do. He had come to be that Passover lamb. And so on the cross, she sees her son die. The man who once was a little boy who she rocked on her lap. The man who was once a little boy that she sang lullabies to sleep, who nursed on her. This man who was a little boy that she cared for, now hung dead on the cross for her sins and for the sins of the whole world. The Bible doesn't tell us about a time after our Lord's resurrection that he specifically goes and embraces his mother. But you can imagine that that would occur. That after his resurrection, after he was raised from the dead, he would go and embrace his own mother once again and tell her not to weep, not for him. For that which was dead is alive again. Unlike the widow's son in both our Old Testament lesson and our gospel lesson, this widow's son would live forever, never to taste death again. Presumably those others widow's sons eventually grew up and died again. But they have the same hope that you and I and all believers in Christ have, the hope of the resurrection that is to come. We confess those words in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body. It makes sense that we sing the hymns that we sing today because they are very closely tied to our funeral rites. Before we leave the cemetery, in that temporary resting place where we lay the body into the ground, we sing the words of our sermon hymn. This body in the grave we lay, there to await that solemn day. We leave that place of rest, and we go on, yes, to mourn, but to mourn as those who have hope. We have hope because Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, is living and well. Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, is reigning on his throne. Jesus Christ is here with us this very day, and he gives you the food that creates strengthening of your faith. Jesus has promised never to leave us, and it's true. So even as we walk away from the cemetery that day and we return to go and spend time with the lifeless body of our dearly loved one, we know that that same body will rise on the last day. And that it will be like the widow's son, who is alive, who is awake, who is rejoicing. But unlike those widow's sons, they will never see death again. We have no cause to mourn or weep. Securely shall this body sleep, till Christ himself shall death destroy and raise the blessed dead to joy. And so the church sings. So help us, Jesus, ground of faith. Thou hast redeemed us by thy death from endless death and set us free. We laud and praise and worship thee. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.